how it's going. Have to look at it. Okay, where are we in time? Well, for this year anyway, in time, we're in the age of Aquarius for approximately 2,000 years. We know this. And this is the age of the Son of Man. And you can take that lots of ways. You can take it as just your humanity, or you can embrace your divinity, the two together, and enjoy it. It's nice to know that you have something divine. For me, this breath that I breathe is divinity. God is life. He's the editor of all creation, all life we see, all living things. So to me, breath is precious. This breath is gone. I think maybe you're what we call dead, passing into another state, whatever all of that is. But right now, we're in the sign of Leo. It's a fire sign, and it is really the leader of all of the signs. If you notice here in the traveling order, it's always good to study the orders in Scripture. However, when God set this particular order, the traveling order, He put Judah first, because Reuben was the firstborn, and he chose to commit what we call touch fornication with his stepmother. So it caused him to lose the firstborn's birthright. It's very important in the Jewish nation and the Levitical law to have the birthright. So the birthright was passed to Judah. So he's really in the signs, he's really the last constellation in the constellations, because there's a reason for that. God says, take that thing that's last. The lion speaks of your emotions. Doesn't mean you have to be an emotional wreck. And it sure don't mean you need to be an unemotional wreck. We need emotion. So if you don't have emotion, you might as well be dead. Some emotion. Even if it's negative, have it. Enjoy it. And know that you can display it. So he speaks of the emotion in all of the realms. But he speaks of that divine love of the Father, which is the sum of all things, which is the 12th constellation. So, I've told this story lots, but I'm going to tell it again. If you stick around, I'll tell a lot of them again, probably. Anyway, I was raised in the Pentecostal faith. And they always taught us you cannot touch anything to do with astrology. And I was studying the scripture, and God was beginning to unfold to me how those astrological signs were all through the Word. Well, see, this was new. So I asked him, I said, you know, Lord, I'm green as grass. I could miss it. So I want to know, is this a deceiving spirit, or is it something I'm supposed to pursue? Will you give me a sign? So that morning, when I went to pick someone up for church, I went down here on the turnpike. There laid a big black snake with a crow eating it. Hello. That was my sign. In the natural, in material things, because that was all that would have convinced me. Anyway, so through the years, it's been unveiled more and more and more and more. this is the cup of wrath poured out upon the serpent. And we know the serpent bespeaks our ego that's it's more arrogant. It really doesn't want God included it, or an authority included. And if you notice, right now in our world, people hate authority of any kind. So they're giving authority to all these little sects and groups and different ones, and trying to give attention to every race, every color. This is an impossibility. It's utterly ridiculous to go that far out on a limb to satisfy everyone, because everybody has rules in their reality. They may not be righteous rules, and we know that, but that each person, each one of us, makes rules within ourselves. We either abide by God's righteous laws, or we make up our own. So we have the different understandings and so on and so forth. Anyway, we not only are in this sun sign for the next 30 days, maybe 31, I think. Yeah, I think there's 31 in this particular sign. But the moon is in this sign right now. The moon became new in this sign yesterday. So if you felt like you could plow a field, that's why. Because it is a fire sign. And it'll light a fire. If you're an earth sign, it'll light up your earth. And if you're an air sign, then you give strength to it. And if you're another fire sign, you feel it. And of course, the water signs would have to get out of the water and build the fire. But anyway, this Hydra is a water serpent. You see, they call him Hydra, the serpent, the female water serpent. So that speaks of an ego that has to fall, an understanding, our egotistical things. And I want to read a little bit about that. I've read it before, but I want to read it to you again because this bears saying again.
Diane, do you need to put stuff in the oven? Did you remember?
You're going to put your stuff in the oven. Let me find my little place. Lose it so fast when I've got it all fixed, I think. Just hold your tater, it's close. Yeah. The Gnostics had an understanding that has sort of left us, but I kind of like their linear teaching because it is linear. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. They don't do 1 and jump to 20 or something. But then you have to follow the yellow brick road to get there. And this is what they say about this. And I found it so interesting that I really want to teach on it eventually. It says, it is implied in all Sophia literature that the Sophia was initially a divine personality. Can you get a hold of that? And hold on to that. That could be considered part of the quadrinity or the Trinity. She was the fourth part of the Trinity. Do you hear this? That's beautiful to me. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is great. All of those realms. But he did need a wife, did he not? He needed a divine feminine, or else mankind would have never been made. He said, I want to make something in the image and the likeness of me. Mankind that has its own will. And speaking of will, Leo in the houses is the fifth sign, and his house is the house of I will make my own determinations and selections. I will is his house. Knowing that you are empowered by that personally, every man has the right to make up his own choices, to receive his choices, to determine a thing, and it will be. However, they need to be determined in the right direction, because it gets you in a lot of trouble if you don't. Anyway, when she was part of this quadrinity, if I'm saying that right, I've never seen that word before, so I had to go, okay, who do I call or pronounce this for me? sinless and radiant with the Trinity prior to her act of impetuosity. Remember, the lower Sophia is impetuous. So somebody had to be willing to fall. I remember hearing Rokas teach on this, and he said, a man didn't fall, he was given a push. And that's what I really believe happened. God said, okay, I am going to let you be your own evolutionary driver. I'm going to let you fall from this lofty state. I hope you know that when you die, this is not all of you. This is a little manifestation of you. In order for you to come here, you had to be reduced to a tiny, from something very expanded to a tiny, tiny seed in your mommy's belly. That's how you got here. Somebody had to plant seed. That's how all babies get here. That's how they're born. So, anyway, I started this. I don't want you to miss it, honey, because I think this is interesting. This implies in all Sophia literature that Sophia was initially a divine personality that could be considered part of the quadrinity, sinless and radiant with the Trinity prior to her act of being impetuous that created the separation. Well, there had to come a separation for us to become human. We were already divine. People are trying to get divine. I'm not so much trying to get divine as I'm trying to get human. Embrace my humanity. That I might to say to the other guy, just as Jesus did, embrace what your humanity is saying. Take your moments, as I said this morning. What if someone said to you right now, you have one more minute to live? Would you go back and remember all your hells and drag it up here with you? Would you be that stupid? Huh? No, you would think about the thing you treasured the very most. And hold it so dear and precious, wouldn't you? You'd want it to be a really holy, beautiful, unforgettable thing. So you wouldn't want to remember all your nay-nays, all of your negative reality. God, quit creating that. We must bring beautiful things into reality. That's our job. Beautify where you are. Make it happy. Remember the good times, so to speak. Anyway, in the Gnostic schemata, the separation brought Sophia face to face with human creaturehood. Absolutely. There had to be a fallen feminine. I mean, God is masculine. He was always a masculine God, and from the time of beginning, he was trying to teach us he needed a wife. I need a wife that's obedient, that will hear me, that will follow me, that will embrace me, that will express me to mankind. I'm afraid most of the time he's still looking for one. And yeah, she's a Snow White and she's a Cinderella. I run into her. They exist, those kind of fairy tales. Sure they do. Don't you rain on my parade, I'm gonna rain on yours. Okay? Let's give room what needs to be room. That means she came into creaturehood, the immediate world existence, as opposed to life in the spiritual worlds. Isn't this Adam all over again? This is humanity. As her newly acquainted identity, which no longer represented the quadrinity. How do you say that word? A quad quadrilateral.
Quadrilateral.
Got it right then.
Mm-hmm.
Type of extension from the Trinity of the Godhead, but sharing power with a fallen hierarchy. The fallen hierarchical powers governing the lower aeons. If dualism, separation are maintained, then Sophia's relationship to the Trinity is very limited. Can you not see that? That is so plain to me. Okay, let's go over here and find out what he says about this. Lesser are the fallen divine feminine. Because she was the fallen feminine, Jesus Christ had to come. He had to be the wife of the Father that was pure to redeem her. You have to have redemption. So he did that already. We keep asking him to do it again, but he's done that already. He wants you to do that. You be a redeemer. Hello, that's not exalted. Redeem the thing, the person, the moment, and not just somebody you love a lot, but all men. Where is the redeemable quality in this guy, in this woman? That looks like nothing is redeemable. I thought, well, maybe I looked that way one time. I've kind of been there. The lesser Sophia, I've read this before, is part of the fall. The separation of divine substances because she had an imperfect what? Desire. What did Reuben do? I can do this job better than my daddy. I'm not going to submit to Jacob. This wife is full of fear and trembling. He ain't getting the job done. That's what Bilhah's name means. And we're all acquainted with her. You've got some of it in you. Or you've overcome it. Maybe you know that already. And you've walked beyond it. Do walk beyond it. Get past that. Anyway, she had an imperfect desire. Have you ever said, God, I want to do this and I want to do that, and he let you? And you wish to God he hadn't let you. Really? It was an imperfect desire, but you demanded it, and then you willed it to be. I'm going to have this. I'm going to eat 200 cookies, and that's what a child would do if you put it in front of them all the time. They'd eat it. They wouldn't quit it. It's sweet. It's good. Do it. Somebody has to draw some kind of righteous limitations. You can have a cookie after you eat your green stuff, your holy herbs. After. A cookie. You can have a cookie. But you can't have all the cookies you want. Because your want is screwed up. Honest. So she had an imperfect desire to seek a divine identity. God, do we hear in this everywhere, apart from the Godhead. Johnny and I were watching the History Channel yesterday. You need to watch that sometime. We had Douglas MacArthur on the scene. What is the guy in England?
Churchill
on the scene. And Roosevelt. And Stalin. And Hitler.
That's five.
That's a bunch of them. But I'm just want you to look at all those personalities. We know what Hitler's desire was, right? If you know anything about history, you know that Stalin was a killer, murderer, slaughterer. But then you got Churchill, that stands for right. He wasn't popular because it never got in his mouth. He didn't know how to talk to people. He was just determined to be right. Now, Roosevelt was a little more polished, thank God. And Douglas MacArthur was a walking ego, but he had his righteousness on being a good soldier and an American. That's awesome. I particularly didn't care for his arrogance. But you got some egos that can get you there. So what happens is they have a meeting. Roosevelt, Stalin, and the guy from England. I can't remember Churchill. I can't remember that guy's name. They had a meeting because Roosevelt and Churchill felt they needed an ally against Hitler to win this world war. So they sort of made allies with him. Now, Roosevelt did okay with it. Churchill, it was sticking in his craw. Because he despised Stalin, and he was pretty, you have to know Churchill. He's the one that said to Lady Astor, she said, "Sir, you're drunk." He said, "Yes, and you're ugly, and I'll be sober in the morning." So that's how polished he was. So he was brash, you know. Didn't make him too popular in the world of charm, but he was a great man that stood for righteousness. Anyway, hadn't planned to say all that. I just wanted you to see what ego can do if it's in the wrong direction. And we know where Hitler's went. Johnny said 11 million people died in the two world wars.
100 million.
My mind doesn't fathom that. and 6 million were Jews at Hitler's hand. They were kind of hand-picked to die. Think about it, folks. What you can do with your ego, you can take it and set it up on you and your arrogance and not manifest in the Son of the living God. Or you can just manifest your old ugly flesh, and that wouldn't be nothing new. Everybody does it. And none of it's pretty. Anyway, it says she chose to seek an identity apart from the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I'm going to leave something with you. When this body departs from this world, you're never going to see this body again. You're never going to see me again. I've done what I came to do. Of course, some are looking for him to split open the eastern sky, and that's okay. They can do that. He splits my eastern sky every time he reveals something to me. So I've had many, many raptures, so I don't have an argument if they want to say it that way. I'm just not waiting around for something to happen. It's already happening. Thank God. Anyway, she didn't want to be part of that anymore, because that's a lot of authority, having to obey something else's rule. So her imperfect desire put her in a fallen state, and she became humanity. But she hung on to the fallen hierarchies, fear, hate. I could name so many things. The works of the flesh go on and on, and I think I mentioned those last weekend anyway. We don't need to dwell there. Mankind's stayed in those places too long. And Jesus redeemed all that on the cross. And then here we are hanging with him. Our cross is our humanity. That's beautiful that he made it for us. Does it hurt? Oh yeah. Sometimes it hurts. But that makes our evolutionary driver, the pain. If you're in pain, you'll do something to get out of it. You'll either grow up or die. One of the two. Find a way out. She sought a higher identity apart from those 24 invisibles. We call them the 24 elders, or the Revelation does, and that's how you would understand. They bespeak realms. Everybody's not in the same realm, even in your mentality, in your emotion, in your will, or in your desires. Everybody doesn't live in that same little fixed place. Some things are huge, some things are small to you. Okay. The lesser Sophia thus conflates with the fallen Eve, compounding negative feminine image. In addition with the fallen Eve, in addition, Sophia brings forth evil by being solely generative without a consort. I'll bring forth my own seed. And that's why you see so many homosexuals and they can't bring forth nothing. I can do this by myself. Well, go ahead. Let's see you do it by yourself. If you can do it alone. Okay. This finds mythological expression in the idea of this word. Syzygy. S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y. Whatever that is. I know that it's some kind of energy, but it's negative energy. The divine pair, which became unpaired, historically a woman outside of the patriarchal social construct, stood for chaos, without a governor, without a head, so to speak. Paul said it is sin for the woman to prophesy uncovered in the church. He wasn't talking about a hat, although the Pentecostals teach it that way.
Or long hair.
No, that either. You could be bald if you want to, long as Christ is your covering. Anyway, that's what I wanted to read of that. I hadn't meant to stay there so long, but I guess I'm supposed to. This little wisdom Jesus is a little advanced, but it's good. I like this author. Well, she happens to be feminine, and sometimes I like them for all the adjectives they use to explain. She says, "At any rate, I have often suspected that the most profound product of this world is tears. I don't mean that to be morbid, rather, I mean the tears that express your own vulnerability." And people are just afraid to cry. Well, sometimes mine is just involuntary. And I just have to let it be there. Now, I will try to hide to keep others from thinking I'm upset with them or something. But beautiful things bring tears to my eyes. And sad situations, too. I mean the tears that express vulnerability in which we can endure having our heart broken, admitting it to myself, this hurt. Otherwise, you're just madder in hell the rest of your life. Be a big boy. Say, this hurt, I'm mad. That's honest. This hurt. You can endure having a broken heart and go right on loving. Sometimes that's not easy. In the tears flows a sweetness not of our own making, which has been known in our tradition as the divine mercy. Our jagged, hard-edged earth plane is the realm in which this mercy is most deeply, excruciatingly, and beautifully released. There's no tears in divinity, dudes. You have to be a human being to be able to do that. Did our example do it? Yes, he did. The scripture says Jesus wept. He would weep and pray all night sometimes, not involving anybody else. That's what he did. That's our business down here, and that's what we're here for. To feel. This year so far, we've explored, let me think, what houses? The house of I Am, starting in Aries. In Taurus, we have the house of not only I Am, I Have. In the third house, we have the house of embracing I Think. In the fourth house, we have, and now I can feel because I am, I have, and I think I can feel. God, does people need to hear? They need to feel. You know why you don't feel? No guts. If you feel, then you might hurt. So you can say, I don't feel nothing. I'm going, you dead thing. You poor thing. But now we've moved into the house of past. I am, I have, but you can't miss any of them and jump. No. You have to embrace your I am, your I have, your I think, and your I feel before you can will it to be.
It's like the 12-step program for alcoholism.
I know.
You have to go through each step honestly with yourself before you can advance to the next one.
Well, I think the guy that did that book had some deep spiritual understanding.
He did.
Yes.
I read his life.
That's why the 12 steps are written according to. I picked that up when I first started on that meeting.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, there's a lot of 12-step things in life.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's a complete revolution of the sun, so it's been used in many things. I don't know what all has 12 steps in it, but many, many things do. Okay. I want to read this because I felt like it was good. It says, this realization in turn opens up a whole new line of insight into John's statement, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The Son, in this wider metaphysical context, is no longer the one who bails us out or who rescues us from our fallen state, but he's the one who becomes our bridge between all the realms, recognizing the enormous difficulty of our mission, Jesus comes to accompany us on it. I'm leaving, boys. You're never going to see this again, but I'm going to leave you with something. A comforter. It's called the Spirit that is holy in you. Now, if you can't embrace that holiness in you, you're in big trouble. Because that will keep you. It will help you. It'll give you the compassion in the right time. It will be your closest friend. So like the Holy Spirit. I love when I feel that move during my day or any time and often. When he just kind of walks by me and says, did you forget about me? Oh, yeah, I did for a little while. But don't you quit coming back. Recognizing the enormous difficulty of our mission, Jesus comes to accompany us on it, advocating our human finitude in a way that respects its integrity. But it doesn't allow us to be trapped anywhere. Oh, if mankind could know that. You don't have to stay trapped in any mentality. I am not going to. I can't think that way. It's not comfortable there. I have to be loosed. So I will create me something better. I mean that. And I'll walk in that creation. Because it's happier.
We can be creators or destroyers.
Really?
We have a choice.
Of our own self. We're our own enemy, I'm telling you. He becomes our... wait a minute. As in the traditional theological understanding, but with a very different flavor. He becomes our mediator, standing at the confluence of two vastly different orders of being. He offers his own life as a sanctuary between these realities. So, those that don't need Jesus, I'm going, what do you need?
Funny to start this with your teaching, because first thing this morning, this is what I saw. People often view the spiritual path as a search for the light. In truth, spirituality asks us to bring light and darkness together in wholeness. In fact, this is the only possible solution. In our world of duality, any effort to focus all attention on the light only serves to increase the power of the darkness. Our aim is not to deny or reject anything, but to embrace it all.
Yes. I agree with that. Just don't dwell there.
No.
It's like people saying, I love everything, I love everybody, and I embrace everything. And I'll think, dear God, they don't have a nose. Poor things. And there's no flat nose in Israel. You can't even enter into the kingdom if you don't have a nose. The smeller's the feller. We need discernment. It's wonderful. He gives it to us. But you have to practice it. When there's a little hitch in something, what is this I'm picking up in myself? I can overlook her, right? But you better not do it. Go ahead.
That's exactly what I was reading this morning, too. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use, that's very important there, who by reason of use have exercised that,
yes,
have learned through that, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Absolutely.
So I mean, you put it out there, you walk in it, you experience it, you learn it.
Yes.
You learn this discernment through a process of trial and error, often through our lifelong
exactly how
experiences.
We it is trial and error. You know? And so we, you know, you walk among men, you can pick up certain things, insecurities. I'll go, when that person looks so precious, what is the angst about there? You can feel it. Okay? Been there, done that. As a matter of fact, I've done that plenty. So I recognize that rapist, because that's what that lower realm is. It's a rapist, unless you give yourself to it, and then you just might be called the great whore that sits on many waters. You get to make that choice.
You get to be raped over and over again.
Oh yeah. Well, some people liking it, I think. So keep going to that place. We'll do some scripture. I was going to do something else, but time's getting by. Ephesians. Ephesians 4:18. Paul says, as you know, there's great controversy whether Paul wrote Ephesians or not. To me, it's a no-brainer. It's his language. He did. I don't have to argue about that, and I don't have to care about that. I have to care about if this is written on the tables of me. That's the big thing. And it is. So, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk. Are you a Gentile? Everybody in this room's a Gentile, if you don't know that. If you're an American, whether you like it or not, you're not a Jew. He's a Jew that is a Jew inwardly. His circumcision is not that of the flesh, but of the letter, so to speak. So it has nothing to do with your nationality, but where your heart is. Other Gentiles that walk in the darkness are the vanity of the mind. Listen to this. Having the understanding darkened and alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in the person. I hear people say some of the most ignorant things because they don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea what they're talking about. They've just judged it, hung it out there to dry, and don't even look into it. So we have to be careful. What we say is how we judge our things, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. Where's the blindness? Where your treasure is. Where is your treasure? You want it to be a better world you live in? You want to make a better reality or not? Or you want to keep doing the stinking thinking and see where it gets you? It comes out of your mouth. It's not like you just have to mess up your world. You like to mess up everybody else's too. I'm going, what is this about? Okay. That wasn't real scripture I was looking for. 5:18 is what I wanted to read, but I read that verse. So. Just stick it in your crawl and you'll understand it later if you don't understand it now. Did I write that down wrong? Where it says, I must have wrote it down wrong. You were sometimes darkness. You know that scripture. Every man is sometimes darkness. So we've all had darkness to deal with. It's not like any of us get here perfect, obviously. Now, I think some of us get here with gifts. Probably each person gets here with a certain gift or something. I'm not talking about spiritual gifts particularly, but it can be in a lot of veins and a lot of realms. Okay, I can't find my scripture. If y'all find it, let me know.
5:18?
I'm looking at 5:18.
Well, that one says, so be careful how you act. These are the difficult days. Don't be fools, be wise. Make the most of every opportunity.
I don't know where it is. I looked it up this morning.
Don't
wrote it down.
Thoughtlessly, but try to find out and do whatever the Lord wants you to do. Don't drink too much wine, for many evils lie along the path.
Yeah.
Filled instead with the Holy Spirit and controlled by Him. Talk to each other, quoting psalms and hymns, singing sacred hearts, making music to your heart, always giving thanks for everything to the Lord, to God and Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Honor Christ by submitting to each other.
Anyway, I looked up the word darkness in the Hebrew and the Greek, and it does say darkness. But it says misery, ignorance, sorrow, and obscurity, and death. It's when Paul used the word darkness, that's what he was talking about. Not getting out here and walking around at night. Although a lot of people, I think, go there. Okay, Romans 12:13. Maybe I've got that one correct.
Oh, called you out of darkness? 1 Peter 2:9.
No, it was in Ephesians. I'll find it. The word sometimes is the key.
I just have a small concordance in the back here on that other thing.
Yeah. Romans. What is that? Romans before 1 Corinthians. 12. I wrote that down wrong too. Sorry, folks. Just my human failings, I guess. He's called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. You were quoting it, I think. From your concordance. I just don't know the scripture as well as I think I do.
Peter 2:9.
No, well, it's also in Romans. Because I read it this, I turn to these and read to them, but I must write them down half asleep or something. Anyway, I missed it.
Anyway, 1 Peter 2:9, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God.
Yes.
Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts and so on.
That's good, but I read in Romans. It was Romans where I read it.
I'd never read this before. I was looking at it because I thought maybe you might write down Romans instead of 5 and 5. So I've never read this scripture here. This is pretty interesting. He will punish the heathen when they sin, even though they will never have God's laws. For down in their hearts, they know right and wrong. God's laws are written within them. Their own conscience accuses them, or sometimes excuses them. That's pretty interesting. I've never heard that.
Are you in Romans?
Yeah, Romans 2 and...
What version are you reading? It's not King James.
Oh, it's the Living Bible.
Because King James, you know, puts it a little different.
Yeah, but that gives me... It's a really blunt there. I mean, it's like saying... You're responsible. He's saying that.
I believe every person gets here with a measure of understanding. I think it's written within in us. It's up to us, though, to use and connect. Like she said, you connect it to yourself. You know, like a child stepping into a flaming fire. Most kids would be afraid to feel that flame, you know, and just be afraid. So, I don't have to step into that or jump off of something and die to know that if I jump, I'm going to fall. Everybody's going to fall. I mean, that's ridiculous to think you're going to float when you jump. You're going to float all right. Till you hit the earth and it kills you. So there's some things that's just no-brainers as far as I'm concerned. Well, I feel like I'm done with this. So.
Well, in Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness.
That's it.
And let's put on the armor of light.
Cast off, because I was looking, studying the word cast off. That's the one I was... Hopefully. Going to read in 13:1.
12.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Okay. Cast off. What does that mean? I wrote that down. It just means to thoroughly reject that thing. Not the person, but when you feel that darkness in someone, just know where they are and don't eat it. Don't be part of that conversation. I do that in conversations a lot with myself. If someone is pushing negative things, I just try to be positive, you know. One of my daughters said at dinner the other night, I had to smile. She said, there are no Prince Charmans. I said, I beg your pardon. I married mine. There are Prince Charmings. Has he missed it sometime? Yeah. But he was my Prince Charming and is my Prince Charming. So yes, there are Prince Charmings.
I can attest to that.
You can. You got one too. All right. So that's how I feel. I do know that I'm not Cinderella. And I do know that I'm not, what's her name?
Snow White.
All those dudes. But I got a portion of them in me. I'll be your Cinderella for a little while. I can do that.
Maybe think of that. I'll be your Huckleberry.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
Thank you for listening. We'll come together and dismiss ourselves.
We're so eager. We're so great, too.
Boy, I stood too long.
I put stuff on that heater, too, back there, you know.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I'm afraid I'll get used to it and burn up.
Keep that on.